Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven, stay driven.
Shit, about to take them back to the 90s, man.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bareback Facts. I'm your host, Big D, Dallas Duclo. For those of you who are new to the show, I welcome you. For those of you who are longtime listeners, thanks again for coming back. Today, I'm supposed to be playing host to Janai Garrett, a young rapper in Texas. Still waiting to hear back from her. We're still waiting on her, so we'll see if she calls in. But in the meantime, we're going to talk a little bit about something else, something a little bit different. So while I wait on my guests, and hopefully they show up, one second here. There we go. So we'll wait for our guest to call in. But in the meantime, I just want to talk about a little something else. And one of the things that I want to talk about is how we're all doing right now. The current state of affairs. Something that seems to be done to death. But nonetheless, it's always important, I think, to be a little bit, to have a little, perspective on the world we live in today. Right now, there's a lot of tension in our society right now, and there's different reasons for these tensions, but nonetheless, there's a lot of tension in our society. We're seeing more and more, pushes from various groups within our society to have a voice. Which is kind of fitting for kind of a fitting theme for today's show because I'm supposed to have a guest on today who is trying to find her own voice in the music industry and still waiting for her. But we are in a very interesting time, and there's a great we all take kind of for granted how good we've kind of got it these days. It's a lot, I've talked many times about, sort of the challenges that people face coming into, trying to break into various works, trying to break into various, industries. But, I mean, we really do kind of take for granted how good we've got it sometimes. We don't really realize how fortunate we are to be in the situations that we're in. Me, personally, I am very appreciative of where I'm at today. I'm very, very fortunate to have the show that I have, to have the time that I get to have, to talk to the individuals I get to talk to on a week-to-week basis. It's pretty mind-blowing. You'd have told me a year ago I'd be talking to guys like Kerry Rhodes and Sidney Steele, Justin, all these individuals that I've gotten the opportunity to talk to over the last year. I would have told you were crazy. I've been very, very fortunate to talk to some of the people that I've talked to, and I certainly don't take for granted the opportunity that I have. But I feel like we, as a society, we've kind of geared ourselves towards this concept of leisure and trying to make things as easy for ourselves as we possibly can. I understand it's a natural part of evolution. You develop, you grow, and you move forward, and hopefully you better yourself as you move forward. Hopefully the adaptations that you have make you better suited for your environment. Now, we as human beings are incredibly ingenuitive. We've managed to come up with all these different ways of making our lives better. We've got all these great medicines. They help us live longer. We've got all these, we've got all this, depending on what kind of medicine it is. Some of these medicines, I got to tell you, the side effects sometimes are worse than what you've got. You know, you try to treat heartburn and you get cancer 3 weeks later. I mean, you know, it's crazy. But, you know, work in progress. You got to work the kinks out, right? That's right. I'm going to take some shots at some people today. Why not? There's a shot at Big Pharma for you. But no, we really do take for granted the time in which we live. I oftentimes though have seen, especially over the course of the last few months, I've seen a lot of people very upset with the current state of affairs. You know, it always kind of harkens back to me to the great quote from J.R.R. Tolkien. For those of you not familiar with Tolkien, I like to reference Tolkien a lot. I'm a big fan of The Lord of the Rings, big fan of Tolkien's work. And there is a scene probably familiar to those of you who have seen the movies. For those of you who are not big nerds like me, there is a great quote in an exchange between two primary characters in the book, and that is Frodo, who is our main hero, and Gandalf, who is sort of an advisor to him. And Frodo says, "I wish it need not have happened in my time." And Gandalf responds by saying, "So do I, and so do all who live to see such times, but that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us." And this is a very striking quote. It's something I want to explore a little bit. We take for granted the time that we have been given. You know, a lot of people, they sit around all day and make excuses, and they complain. They complain about basically how good they've got it. I mean, it's insane to me that people complain about how good they've got it. I mean, I never thought I'd be in a situation where, you know, people would say, "Man, it just really, you know, it's really terrible to be rich today." Like, it, you know, I hear a lot of these wealthy individuals coming out all the time now. We've got we've got a lot of people that come out on a daily basis and talk about how awful it is just to live their life and how difficult it is. You know, when you've got celebrities that come out and say, it's not easy for me. You know, I'm rich, but it's not easy. Well, I mean, you're making it more, you know, for me, I look at these people whose lives, they've got all this money. They've got all this time. They're living the dream. Ideally, they're doing what they wanted to do with their life the whole time. You know, if you are a professional and you have crafted and you are a professional at your craft and you've perfected it and you are making like millions of dollars for what you do, I would think you'd be pretty happy that you're actually getting paid to do your dream job. I mean, you're pretty fortunate. I mean, you are literally the living embodiment of the American dream. You're basically doing what everybody would strive to be doing. You know, if I could make millions of dollars to teach people, I would do it. Honestly, I don't even need to make millions of dollars to teach people and to instruct people. I'm content with the satisfaction that I get from that. Now, a paycheck is really nice. Really enjoy the paycheck, but that is kind of the added bonus that you get from fulfilling work. But, you know, these individuals that are making bukus of money, you know, making music or playing a sport or doing, you know, or whatever they're doing, painting pictures. It doesn't even matter. Whatever craft they applied their hands to, and they're making all this money, and they're still upset. They're still miserable. Now, for me, you know, for some people, they go to the place of religion and they say, "See, it's just proof that you need something higher than yourself to aspire to be happy. You know, the things in the world, the material things, they're not going to satisfy you. You need something more." But I think it's honestly more complicated than needing something more to strive towards. good life lesson to get with is, I think, more than just simply needing something higher than ourselves to strive towards, that keeps us dissatisfied. Once we've achieved our goal, I think a lot of people that have put in the work and have achieved their goal, maybe it's not as, the achievement is not as fulfilling as they thought they were. And I think the reason for that, as they thought it was going to be, and I think the reason for that is because they were so focused on the journey that they never thought about what they would do when they reached their destination. That's, I think, where really what it really boils down to is, it's not that, you know, these people that have all this money are ungrateful and unhappy all the time because they have all this money. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I don't believe that for a minute. I think they honed in on their goal, but they never thought about what they would do when they got it. You know, they never asked the questions of what they were going to do when they finally got to the top of the mountain. What do I do when I made it to the top of the mountain? You know, I made it, you know, the guys that climbed Everest, they had a goal in mind, right? The goal was to make it to the top of the mountain. And when they got there, they put a flag there and they said, "Woo, we climbed the Mount Everest. We did it. We climbed the highest mountain in the world. We're amazing." They planted a flag and they said, "Well, that was cool. Now we got to climb back down. You know, now we got to go home." And for them, you know, that's a temporary thrill, right? That success is temporary. I mean, they're going to be, you know, they didn't make like millions of dollars to climb this mountain, but they got the satisfaction of knowing that they climbed this mountain, and the hard work that they put in was rewarded, you know, by being the individuals who climbed this mountain. Now, since then, people have, you know, since the original guys have done it, excuse me, other people have done it. But they are the impetus for other people going and climbing Mount Everest. They were the first to do it, and now everybody else that wants to climb a mountain is saying, "I want to be like those guys that climbed Everest. You know, they did it. Now I want to see if I can do it." And ultimately, I think that's where our focus should go. Once we've started to reach our goals, our focus should be on another goal. And I think, you know, you could just never, you know, for me, I think you can never have too many goals. And I think that's where we slip up. That's where we get so, where we become dissatisfied with our situation. Because we reach our goal, and then after we've reached our goal, we don't appreciate that we've reached it. Or we don't have a contingency in place. You know, a new direction that we're prepared to go in. So once we've reached our goal, it's important that that's not the end of the story. You know, that it doesn't have to be the end of the story. We can move forward. We can get finding new goals, finding new things that we should be excited about. You know, I see a lot, you know, I've seen some of these artists, you know, they get a Grammy and then they're like, "Well, that's it. I got a Grammy." But like, why not two Grammys? Like, why not three? Some of these artists, that's why they get these awards. One of the most decorated, you know, actors of all time is Daniel Day-Lewis. And if you don't know Daniel Day-Lewis, you actually do know Daniel Day-Lewis. You probably just don't know, you know, him by name. But he's been in all sorts of movies. He was in There Will Be Blood. He was in Gangs of New York. He was in Last of the Mohicans. But he's known for being an extraordinary method actor. This is a guy who fully immerses himself in whatever character that he's going to play. And he's been in some phenomenal films. He's considered to be extremely, you know, intense individual to work with. And I believe he's got, I don't want to be wrong on this, but I think he's got like 17 awards. Let's take a look. take a look real quick. He's got a number of awards. So let's take a look here specifically. Oh, and of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that one of the more recent films that he did was Lincoln. So let's take a look at the number of awards that this guy has. So he's been awarded four times he's been nominated. He's got five nominations for Academy Awards. He's won three of them. He has been nominated six times for the British Academy Film Awards, and he won four times. For Critics' Choice, he was nominated five times, and he won three times. For Golden Globes, he was nominated seven times. He won twice. Satellite Awards, four times. He won two out of four. Screen Actors Guild Awards, three out of five. And then Major Critic Awards, he's won one. He's won 12. So this is one of the most decorated actors in the world. He's got 43 award wins out of 50 from various critic circles. And overall in his career, he's won 137 acting awards and received 200 nominations. So he's been nominated 200 times for awards. This is a man who's accustomed to excellence, and he's only won 137 of them. Now, I say 137, and that sounds like a lot. It is a lot. He's one of the most decorated actors that there is. But if you think that he's one of the most decorated actors of all time just because he's good, you're wrong. He's one of the most decorated actors of all time because he's willing to go the extra mile. And I'll give you an example of how he's willing to go the extra mile. In one of the films that he filmed, he was so – and this is The Last of the Mohicans. I don't actually believe he got too many awards for this. He got only like two awards, and I don't believe they were the Academy. He went out and learned how to become a tracker. He learned how to become a tracker. He lived basically off the land for months before the film so that he could understand how a Indian tracker survives in the wild. He did this, how these people, these fur trappers and settlers, how they survived. He went out and personally learned how to do this. In another instance, in order to maintain as close as possible in his mind a level of realness and reality to the character he was portraying in Gangs of New York, he refused to wear warmer clothing than what was given to him because it would have looked less real and less authentic. So he sacrificed his own health in the efforts for authenticity and in playing a character, and almost got gravely ill. He got pneumonia filming Gangs of New York and still finished filming the movie. And for those of you unfamiliar with the film, it's phenomenally one of the earlier films that actually Leonardo DiCaprio was in. But when you watch that film for the time that it came out, I believe it was 97, nobody was talking about DiCaprio so much. They were talking about Daniel Day-Lewis being in the film because he's a featured guy. And, of course, you have Cameron Diaz in the film and a number of other people. But people were talking about the fact that Daniel Day-Lewis was in it, and probably rightly so. But the point we're getting to here is, if Daniel Day-Lewis would have just been satisfied with winning an Academy Award, he would have stopped making movies after he won his first one. He probably wouldn't have gone out and tried to win all these awards. So what was it that drove him to be as good at what he does as he is? What is it that made him continue on and win? I mean, because, you know, for some people, they go their whole career, they only win one. I mean, I believe Leonardo DiCaprio just won his first one not long ago. And people were clamoring for, you know, when is Leonardo DiCaprio going to win one? Because guys like Daniel Day-Lewis winning them. But what people didn't understand is it's not that Leonardo DiCaprio wasn't good. It's that Daniel Day-Lewis was going that extra mile, you know, to bring that authenticity, you know, sacrificing, you know, his own health, sacrificing and putting in the work, putting in the time, because he wanted to be the absolute best. And, you know, people would say, well, I mean, now that he's all got all these awards, I mean, the journey's over, right? But Daniel Day-Lewis is still trying to make movies. He's still acting, still, I mean, like I said, he just not long ago did Lincoln. You know, that was only a couple of years ago when Lincoln came out, and he was Lincoln. He put in all this time and all this effort into making these films. And he could have stopped long ago after he had, you know, 100, you know, 50 or 100 awards. And he's got 137. He's been nominated 200 times. And more than likely, before his career's over, he's going to probably win some more. And he's probably going to be nominated a number of more times. And you look at this, individual's career, and you think, well, I mean, what is there for this guy to achieve left? Well, I mean, he's done basically everything. What is there? What is it? What else is there for him to make? And here we go. Lincoln, 2013. I was wrong on Gangs of New York, by the way. That was 2003. He was nominated for Best Actor in that one. But Lincoln, he won. Was in 2013, and he won the Academy Award for Best Acting. You look at what he's got, what he's done. Quit a long time ago, but it took him. If we look at the gap between these, okay, he won his first Academy Award in 1990. Then he made two more films that were pretty great, actually, and he didn't. He only got nominated. He didn't win. So from 94, he made In the Name of the Father, and he got nominated. But then he made Gangs of New York, the movie I told you that he basically, you know, sacrificed his own health for. He got nominated. He didn't even win. It took another 5 years after Gangs of New York, when he made There Will Be Blood, to win. And then it took him five more years and making the movie Lincoln before he won again. So he put in a lot of time, sacrificed loads of time before he could win. That's a heck of a gap between films and in years before you get an award. But if we look, he won his first one in 1990 here, won his first Academy Award in 1990. And he, 4 years later, he only got nominated. And then 9 years, he only got nominated. 2008 is one that he won. 2008. That means it took almost two decades, by the way, before he won another Oscar. So from he won his first one in 1990, and it took him 18 years to win another Oscar, to win another Academy Award. If he would have given up after just one, I mean, he could have been done after the first one. He could have just said, "Oh, that's good. I'll just be done. I'm rest on my laurels." But no, he worked another 18 years before he got another one. That's grind right there. That is dedication. And when you think about the amount of time and effort invested in some of the films that he was in between these years, you've got, you know, Last of the Mohicans, In the Name of the Father, you know, Gangs of New York. Then he wins it in 2008. So all these films in between, takes all this time for him to get there. He is still acting the way he was acting, you know, he's sacrificing his health, he's sacrificing time. But the real question is why? Because the pinnacle for acting is getting the Academy Award. Once you get the Academy Award, you've done it. You've made it to the top. You've proven that for at least once that you were the best, that you were better than everybody else. See, they don't, you know, when you get the Academy Award for Best Actor, that means you were the best actor out of all the other actors that year. You were better than everybody, which means for one split second, you know, for one whole year, you were better than every other movie that came out. When you think about how many movies come out a year, I mean, the year's not even over yet. Think about how many movies we've had, how many movies you've seen, how many previews you've seen. All those movies are made. All these actors, they go in there, they all work, and their goal is to get that award at the end of the year. I mean, you realize that there are hundreds of movies that come out all year long? Hundreds of movies, which means there are literally thousands of actors all year long who are trying to win this award, and this guy wins it, and he's won it all these times. He's won it multiple times. He could have said, well, I'm the best out of all these thousands of actors right now, so that's good enough for me. But clearly, being the best one time was not enough. Reaching his goal of getting the Oscar wasn't enough. Because if it was enough, he would have stopped after the first one. He didn't stop after the first one. He worked another 18 years before he got his second one. And sure, yeah, he accrued some other awards along the way. You know, he got some other ones, and that probably helped soften blow. But he didn't get the big one, the big award, the one that you want to get. Took him 18 years. And in between that 18 years span, he was even nominated. He fell short in the nominations of getting it. You know, he fell short to Robert Downey Jr. in 1993, who did Chaplin. And then he fell short to Anthony Hopkins, who did Shadowlands in 94. You know, he fell short to those two guys for the British Academy Film Awards. So he didn't even win them. He didn't win those awards that year. So in those years, not only did he not win the Academy Award, he didn't win the British Academy either. So all these times that he's nominated, let's take a look here. He's also nominated for Golden Globes in these years, and he lost. He's nominated all these times. He only won it twice. He was good enough to get an Oscar in 1990, but not good enough to get a Golden Globe. He was good enough to be nominated for an Oscar in 1994, but not good enough to win a Golden Globe. Good enough to be nominated in 98, not good enough to win. Good enough to be nominated in 2003, also didn't win. He didn't win the Golden Globe until 2008. So he went all these years, even the year that he won an Oscar, win the Golden Globe. He still didn't get it. If you look at the way his career charts out, it's almost as though he saw the awards he wasn't winning and said, I'm going to keep going until I win one of those. So even after winning the highest honor that you can get for acting, these other awards, these minor awards that, you know, yeah, sure, I mean, they mean a lot to some people. These minor awards, he still went out and tried to get these. Why? Why would he care? You know, you got an Oscar, man. You don't care about why would you care about these little awards, the Satellite Award? Heck, nobody's even heard of that. Screen Actor and Guild Award, I've never heard of that. Critics Circle Award for Best Supporting Actor, I've never heard of that. What the heck is that? Los Angeles Films Critic Association Award, nobody's heard of that. Who cares, right? But somebody cared. Daniel Day-Lewis cared. And that's why he continued to make movies. That's why he continued to work hard to get to where he was. He is currently, he is got the most awards for best actor in a leading role ever. He's got three. Team 90, he won his first one. He didn't reach that goal until 2013, which means it took him 23 years to be the most decorated actor for leading role ever. That is astounding. That is an astounding career. I just turned 28 years old. For 23 years, more than all but 5 years I've been alive, this guy has been out there trying to win these awards. More than half my lifespan, almost 5/6 of my lifespan, to get this. Now, a lot of people would say, well, I mean, that's not very impressive. You know, he's worked 23 years. He got three awards. But look how many times, there's so many actors that don't ever get one. And this guy is the most decorated. He's won more than anybody else. And the reason that he's won so many is not just because his methods. It's not just because of how much work he's put in. It's because the award wasn't good enough. The second award wasn't good enough. He was determined to be excellent in every single regard as far as acting goes. If there is an award out there for acting, this guy wanted to have it. He didn't just settle for the big goal. He went after the little goals too. It wasn't enough to be the best leading actor. He went after every other acting award that he could get his hands on too. Why would he do that? I think this is an individual, I think we can learn a lot from Daniel Day-Lewis. Excellence requires continued diligence. Excellence requires that we put in as much effort as we possibly can. And we can't just be content with reaching a big goal. We have to understand that reaching the small goals is just as important. Each and every small goal that we try to reach in our lives in the same way that we treat our ultimate goal, then we're going to have a much more fulfilling life than we would if we just focus on one. So we focus ourselves towards our career, getting rich, making it happen, being the best dancer, being the best singer, whatever. Once you reach it, once you reach that goal, once you have reached that goal, there has to be something else. Because if you have only dedicated yourself to finding, the one goal that you have, once you fulfill it, you're not going to be happy with the results, because you're going to have done the journey. You've reached the pinnacle, and you're going to be thinking about the long walk down. If you're treating every single small goal along the way, and you're setting these other goals, setting more goals for yourself than just simply making it big to the top, making that one goal happen, that's gonna get you there. That is what is going to make you the next Daniel Day-Lewis. That is what is going to make you the Daniel Day-Lewis of your own career, your own life. You've got to dedicate yourself to more than just success of the highest order. You have to be willing to get in there and grind and scrounge and fight and claw and scratch for what you want in life. But you also have to be willing to go the extra mile. And unfortunately today, guys, I have to say, our guest is not going to be here. I just receive word that they're not going to be able to make it. So that's unfortunate. But that's okay. Something valuable today. So we can salvage this show, a little bit here. I do apologize, guys. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes you schedule people for the show. You try to get people on your show, and they don't show up for whatever reason. These things happen. That's unfortunate, but it's the way that it goes. We move on. We persevere. I am going to be just fine. You are going to be just fine. I do want to thank everybody that's been tuning into the show. I hope you guys are getting some value out of it. So really, that's what it's all about. For me, it's all about, it's all about teaching you guys lessons, and hopefully you guys are taking away the information and finding something valuable in it. And for me, it doesn't matter if we talk about mythology. It doesn't matter if we have an interview. It doesn't matter if we talk about history or historical events or a biography of someone. I think there's value in everything. Find little lessons in every aspect of life. We just have to look for them. And I think today we can learn a very valuable lesson about work ethic, about dedication, and hard work. I know there's a lot of people who complain about not being where they want to be in life. But we also have to remember at the end of the day that it's our lives. If you're not where you want to be in life, you need to ask the question of why you're not where you want to be. Personally, me, myself, I'm not where I want to be in life. But I'm working towards it every single day. My goal is to eventually teach. And right now I get to teach in this way, and this is good. I'd like to eventually have a classroom of my own. And that's my ultimate goal. But along the way, I'm willing to go these extra miles. I see the value in what I'm doing now. This experience is very fruitful for me. I'm learning a lot about myself, learning a lot about people, how they act, and what's important to them. And the experience of getting to interview all the people I get to interview each and every week is just a phenomenal experience. It's a very exciting thing that I get to do. I'm very, very fortunate. But I think it's always important for us to take that look and say at ourselves. So often people blame their problems on other people. They don't want to take personal responsibility for where they are in life. They say, it's the man is holding me back, or, it's because, of what color I am, or because I'm poor, or because of where I come from. But with so many people defying the odds and defying expectations through hard work and diligence, we don't have those excuses anymore, I think. I really feel like we don't have those excuses. You look at a guy like Michael Orr, a guy who was homeless, got fortunate enough to get taken in by a family who cared about him, got fortunate enough to have people around him that were concerned about his education, got him into Ole Miss. He had a career in the NFL. But you look at a guy like that, there's no excuse for somebody like me or anybody else out there to not be going out and achieving your potential and going after the things that you are passionate about. There's so many people out there who would rather just sit around and blame everybody else for why things aren't going their way. If things aren't going your way, maybe you need to ask yourself if the goals you've set are attainable. And if they are attainable, then the next step is asking yourself, what am I doing to attain those goals? And then lastly, you need to ask yourself if you're doing enough. Are you putting in the work? Are you putting in the time and effort getting it done? That's what it really boils down to. The only person that can really truly determine your destiny is yourself. like him, hate him, love him, dislike him, our president is another key example of this. Now, whether you like the president or not is not relevant. And it doesn't. This doesn't need to get very political. We're just using this as an example. So if you've got an angry call in, but prepare to get owned. I'm just getting over being sick, but I will absolutely destroy you on the air. But moving forward, whether you like the president or not, you've got to respect the accomplishment of becoming president of the United States. It's not easy, you know. Not everybody becomes president. And I know that sounds kind of obvious. But you look at all the guys that have run. Look at all the guys that have run for president. And there is a lot of losers on the list. You know? Lots and lots of losers. We're on our 45th president, president of the United States. And along the way, we got a lot of people run for president. And they beat lots of guys to get into be president. I mean, at the very least, if we're just going, let's just say we're just going off the main election. And before, the, you know, the third parties and all that, let's just say, for all intents and purposes, let's just stick with two parties. Okay? I know we got other parties. That's fine. But let's just try to keep it simple. That means that there's at least 45 losers. At least. There's more than that, probably more than that. If you account for third parties, you know, you got to add that in there over the course of years. It's going to up the numbers a little bit. You know, probably closer to 100 at that point. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Whether you like the president or not, you still have to respect the accomplishment of becoming president. It's very difficult to become president. It's not easy. It takes time. It takes investment. It takes money. It takes knowing the right people. It takes having the right team around you to get you there. It takes being able to go on television and talk shop. You have to know what you're talking about, or at the very least be able to, you know, present coherent thoughts, something that we all struggle with, myself included. But you have to be able to do this. You have to be able to do all these things. These are difficult things. You know, and on top of that, you think public speaking is hard. You have to do that in front of millions and millions of people. In fact, if we're being real honest about it, the United States presidency is probably watched by, you know, people, you know, loads of people in other countries as well who are trying to see, you know, who's going to be president of this country for one of the most, you know, for arguably the most influential country in the world. Billions of people are watching you on television. That's a lot of pressure. You know, I don't think people realize how much of an achievement it is to become president. The amount of criticism, the level of stress, the amount of responsibility. People before the elections, you know, they talk about, you know, the best guy for the job or the best woman for the job and the temperament and all the things that you have to have. But ultimately, until you're president, I mean, it's difficult to say, you know, what the ideal person for president is. At the end of the day, though, becoming president and being president, you got to respect that, man. I mean, that's a lot of work. That is a lot of time and effort put in. And it doesn't really matter how much, you know, it doesn't really matter how you look at it. But if you really want to look at it, I mean, you look at a lot of the people that have become president. You know, how it's, you know, easy to be rich. You know, they criticized him for, you know, his business practices. But they also kind of did him a favor when they criticized him for his business practices. If you think about it, Because how many companies have we seen over the last, you know, just over the last 15 years, 10, 15 years, go under and never bounce back, never recover? We've seen a lot of businesses go out of business. I know I've seen a lot of businesses lose everything and never bounce back. You know, people talk about Trump, you know, losing all this money and losing all these companies. And yet somehow the guy is still rich. He somehow, and I don't, you know, I'm not going to get into too much about that. I'm not as familiar with, you know, his business practices as some people profess to be. All I know is the guy's got a lot of money, and you don't get a lot of money by doing nothing. You got to be doing something. You know, people want to talk about, you know, maybe he cheated the laws, or maybe found wiggle room, or maybe he's, you know, got investments elsewhere. That's neither here nor there. That's none of my business. At the end of the day, though, you got to respect guys somehow managed to lose it all, get it all back, and then still have some money. That is impressive. I don't have to agree with it. I don't have to like it. It's not for me to say. But when we look at the achievement, we look at the work put in, clearly the individual put in a lot of work. I'm just saying, you get a lot of money, you're not doing nothing to get a lot of money. You know, there's a handful of people in the world that have gotten rich by doing nothing. Those are the people that, you know, basically, and I mean, even they had to do a little something. Even they had to go get a lottery ticket or something. When you look at the majority of these rich people that have money, you know, we talk about people that are rich that inherit money. Well, I mean, just because you inherit money, I mean, doesn't mean you're going to hang on to money forever. I mean, you still got to be a good steward with what you've got. I mean, you can walk, you know, your family could leave you $200 million, but if you're a crappy businessman, you're a shitty investor, you're probably not going to have very much money for very long. You know, look at all these guys that play professional sports that, you know, they sign a contract for $260 million and then they're broke in 4 years. You know, they're not good investors. And I'm not saying that all of them are like that, but the ones that go broke, clearly, you know, they don't know how to manage money. You know, there's a reason that they have classes now for professional athletes to show them how to manage money. I think that's good. I mean, I think all young people should know how to manage money. But the real point here is whether you like somebody or not is irrelevant. It's the time and effort they put in. The lesson you can learn from a person, even if you don't like them, you still got to respect the fact that they're achieving something that you haven't achieved yet. And because of that, you still have to look at them as an example of how to get things done. You know, we can still learn from people we don't like. I don't have to like anybody. You know, and people don't have to like me. You know what? Honestly, I don't even care if people respect me all that much. I really don't care if you like me, respect me. I have respect for myself, and really that's all that matters to me. But we still have to examine these people for what they've achieved. You can still learn a great deal for what they do and how they've done it. You don't have to agree with the manner they go about doing things, but you still have to look at them and still have to kind of tip your hat to achievements when they do them. You know, you look at, you know, if we want to use professional athletes, look at Peyton Manning. You know, people look at his career and they talk about how he has all these passing records and how, you know, he only has X amount of Super Bowls, whatever. But he's one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play football. And there's a reason he's one of the greatest. It's vision. It was all vision with him. Look at Tom Brady. 6 Super Bowls. I mean, you think Tom, you know, yeah, Tom Brady had a, you know, a team around him. Peyton Manning had a team around him. This, you know, enabled him to get to the Super Bowl. But the common denominator for the Patriots and their Super Bowl wins is that Tom Brady played in all of them. That's a common denominator. People come, people go, players come and they leave. You know, he doesn't have all the guys that he had when he won the first Super Bowl. Those people leave, they get cycled in, they get new guys. Tom Brady somehow engineered the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history, arguably, you know, and won the Super Bowl, whether you like Tom Brady or not. You got to respect the fact the guy's got 6 Super Bowls. How did he do it? How did he do it? Well, clearly he put in a lot of work. Clearly he put in a lot of time. The guy's a stud. He works hard. He studies. You know, people give him a lot of crap because, you know, he plays for the Patriots. They don't like him. You know, there's, you know, things associated with the Patriots organization, you know, scandals and the like. But at the end of the day, the common denominator for them winning football games is Tom Brady being in the games, playing those games, throwing the football. I don't care if he's got a flat ball, a rock in the ball. Somehow, some way, that guy has managed to throw it to receivers and get it in the end zone. And not only that, you could argue that Tom Brady has done it with less. You know, he's not exactly been surrounded every single season with amazing receivers. You know, the one year that he had Wes Welker, then he didn't have Wes Welker. Then he had Chris Hogan and, you know, Gronkowski, who is always hurt. But that's, you know, neither here nor there. The point is, you have to respect what he did. And you can also learn from what he did. How did he do it? Well, clearly he had a strong resolve. That's one thing that he did. But he also had a goal in mind and a dedication towards excellence, a dedication towards success. And if you dedicate yourself towards excellence and success, then you're going to get up every single day and repeat the process of excellence. We have to get into a rhythm of excellence and continually repeat the process. That is how you make greatness. That is how you become great. That is how you reach your goals, and that is how you maintain a level of happiness and a level of success. You know, that's how you get to the top of the mountain and can look down from the top of the mountain and say, now I'm going to go climb another mountain. That, these are the individuals that go out and do that. These are the kinds of people that go out and climb another mountain after they've climbed Everest. And these are the people that go out and continue to make a name for themselves and continue to strive for excellence. So, you know, Tom Brady, he could have retired after three Super Bowls, and he's got lots and lots of money. He could have just stopped playing, but that wasn't good enough. He wanted to win three more. And now he's talking about staying in the league until he just kind of feels like leaving. He'll probably win another Super Bowl before he leaves. I wouldn't be surprised. Why would I not be surprised? Because this is a guy that's dedicated himself to excellence. He has dedicated himself to success, finding ways to succeed. That doesn't mean I'm an amazing Patriots fan. I'm a well-documented Packers fan. Quite frankly, there's really nobody I'd rather not see in the playoffs than Tom Brady, and that's just the level of respect that I've come to have from this guy. He's a tremendous postseason player. That being said, you know, that aside, at the end of the day, you've got to have respect for what these people put in. They don't become successful just because. They're successful because they continually repeat the processes that allow them to be successful. They go in, they watch all the film, they go in, they practice hard, they go in, they work on the things that cause, they look at every single defeat, and they go in and analyze it and figure out how they lost, and they get it back. They win the next time. That is how you become successful. Learning from your mistakes and continually trying to better yourself along the way. But guys, I apologize for the lack of guests today. Hopefully I didn't ramble too much, and hopefully you guys enjoyed the show anyway. Excuse me. Sorry for my coughing and hacking and just getting over being sick, so I do apologize for that as well. Wish that we could have had a guest on today, but that's the way the cookie crumbles, baby. Sometimes they don't come on. At the end of the day, you still get me. Guys, thanks for tuning into the show. Catch you all next time.